The new film, The Hours, is based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Michael Cunningham. It's directed by Stephen Daldry, whose last film was the Oscar-nominated Billy Elliot. The Hours stars Meryl Streep, Nicole Kidman, and Julianne Moore. It was named Best Picture by the National Board of Review. Our film critic John Powers has a review.
There's a certain kind of movie that comes out at awards time and seems designed to win them. It's based on a classy literary novel, is bursting with Tony names, and is so self-serious that it's almost self-congratulatory. The Hours is one of these movies, but by the standards of such things, it's not bad. Brisk, elliptical, and charged with a clumsy power. The movie interweaves what happens during a single day in the lives of three very different women. The first story takes place in 1923 England and centers on Virginia Woolf, who's played by Nicole Kidman wearing a prosthetic schnoz. Along with her husband Leonard, well captured by Stephen Delane, she's moved to the countryside to recover from a mental breakdown and to work on her novel, Mrs. Dalloway. Madness also lurks in story two, set in 50s Los Angeles and focused on a housewife, Laura Brown, played by Julianne Moore, who seems to have copyrighted this role. Laura feels imprisoned in her middle-class life with a young son and clueless husband, and she spends the day reading Mrs. Dalloway and pondering how to escape. Finally, story three is set in 2001 Manhattan and focuses on Meryl Streep's character, Clarissa Vaughn. Clarissa's social style has gotten her nicknamed Mrs. Dalloway by her soulmate Richard, a gay poet played by the emaciated Ed Harris. Richard is dying of AIDS, and Clarissa spends her hours arranging a party in his honor at the apartment she shares with her lover. That's Allison Janney. If both Wolf and Laura Brown are women largely imprisoned within their own unhappy consciousnesses, Clarissa is unfailingly attuned to others. Here she's trying to convince Richard to keep going and come to his party.
Would you be angry?
Would I be angry if you didn't show up at the party?
Would you be angry if I died?
If you died?
Who is this party for?
What do you mean, who's it for? What are you asking? What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, I think I'm only staying alive to satisfy you.
Well, so that is what we do. That is what people do. They stay alive for each other.
When I first heard they were adapting Michael Cunningham's novel, I wondered why. That book's strength was a delicacy of perception that bordered on the precious. Predictably, that fineness has been lost by the film, which tends toward the over-emphatic, especially in Philip Glass's ghastly, hectoring score. But David Hare's script deftly leapfrogs between the three women's days and reveals how they echo and reflect each other. How, for instance, Wolfe's decision that she needs a death in Mrs. Dalloway sends its ripples into the other stories. In presenting this actress's showcase, director Stephen Daldry gets brilliant work from Kidman, who gives Wolfe the vulnerability and ferocity of a wounded falcon. He's a bit less successful with both Streep and Moore, who are perfectly good, but who are overshadowed by their own recent work. Although Streep's Clarissa has a quivering warmth, she feels like a diluted solution of her character in adaptation. And Moore's Laura Brown makes us realize how much more deeply Far From Heaven explored the 50s housewife theme. Like Far From Heaven, The Hours is imbued with a newfangled feminist consciousness. The movie takes care not to demonize its male characters, and it makes a point of generously reinterpreting three classic female stereotypes. The madwoman, that's Wolf, the social butterfly Clarissa, and the bottled-up housewife Laura. Movies tend to be hard on such types. Think of how Annette Bening was ridiculed in American Beauty. But Cunningham, Hare, and Daldry view them with real compassion. At times, even sentimentality. Although the film isn't about female victimization, it's still shot through with the sense that every woman's fate is one of pain, sadness, and loss. It begins with Wolfe's 1941 suicide. I frankly think a woman filmmaker would actually be less mopey about women's lives. While the film's sexual politics will probably get the Hours taught in women's studies courses for the next 100 years, the film is actually at its best when it tackles the existential themes that preoccupied Wolfe in the first place. How much of our existence is spent in terrible aloneness. How even a perfectly ordinary life explodes with an excess of feeling and significance. and how our time on Earth is not one extravagant storyline, but a string of moments, a few of them grand and redemptive. These are hard ideas to convey in a Hollywood movie, and Daldry is guilty of ratcheting things up so that every moment seems to be a very big deal. Yet The Hours does have a cumulative force, and by the end, the people around me were sobbing. I'm not sure they knew exactly what they were moved by, except the inescapable sadness of passing hours. But as always, that is enough.
John Powers is media columnist and film critic for LA Weekly. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm Barbara Bogave.